We will pick up there, see how far we can get today. Verse number one, and every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, as we pick up chapter number 5, if you were going to give this a title, it would be Our Great High Priest. In the first four chapters, we saw... Am I on, Pete? Thanks, buddy. In the first four chapters, we saw that Christ, the Holy Ghost was trying to show us Christ is better than the angels, he's better than the prophets, and he's better than Moses. Now in chapter 5... He's going to show us that Christ is better than Aaron, who was Israel's first high priest. And a blessing, the first two verses gives us reasons why, at the end of chapter 4, we saw that we could come boldly before the throne of grace. In chapter 5, the first two verses gives us a couple reasons why we can come boldly. Our high priest offered the sacrifice for our sins, according to chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So our high priest offered up himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Aaron couldn't do that. They had to do that sacrifice and all the time. You know, the Day of Atonement was once a year. Also, our high priest has compassion on us. Look at chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So this is a little bit hard for me personally to comprehend, but our Lord set aside his glory when he came. Our Lord took upon him the form of a servant. I'm telling you, our Lord was every bit a man as Adam was a man. Adam had not, when God created Adam, he had no sinful nature. You understand that, right? So when he was tempted in the garden, it was not like you and I were tempted in the garden. Are you following me? And so our Lord, though tempted in all points, so it says that when you and I, whatever troubles, whatever circumstances, whatever we go through, he knows that. He can understand that. You know, you and I, different people, okay, like Joe and Mitzi Newman, when they were with us on deputation, Ben got that brain tumor. And then he ended up dying. Okay, I have no idea what it is for your child to get a brain tumor, go through all of that, and then have him go on that. I don't know that because I have not experienced it. Somebody goes, well, I know how you feel. No, you don't, unless you went through. But our Lord knows what we are going through. That should help us as we go to him to unload our burdens, unload our cares, casting all your care upon him, and get some help and get some peace and get some grace to move on. I meant to share a blessing with you. Friday night, Brother Harwood's grandson, Jacob, that would be Matt's son. He's 9 years old. He got saved. Amen. Yeah, they were all shouting it out and praising the Lord for that. So in the first four verses, we're going to look specifically at the office of the high priest. Verse number one says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices of sins. So our Lord, you know that there's three offices that our Lord has had. Prophet, that's in the past, the priest right now, and king in the future. But there's also, in chapter 3, verse number 1, it mentions that our Lord was the apostle, considered the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So what's a prophet do? A prophet represents God to men. You understand that? In other words, he preaches to men what God would have them to know. That's what the pastor, the preacher, is supposed to do for us. But a priest, they intercede to God for men. And so our Lord is that great high priest. Now also, there's qualifications for the high priest we see in the first four verses. In verse number one, he's chosen by God. Guys, I believe with all of my heart, there's different offices. I believe there's different positions within the body, just like there is in the human body, and it's all necessary. When you talk about the high priest, not just anybody could be a high priest. They had to meet certain qualifications. Now, I believe when you talk about pastors, you talk about evangelists, you talk about missionaries, I believe there's a call from God. There's qualifications that we have studied in the Bible that God has for those people. Are y'all with me? Not in your wildest dreams is somebody more important than somebody else. It's absolutely necessary that we really believe God puts the body of Christ together according to his will, and he places us in the body as it pleases the Lord. Are y'all with me? This stuff about, you know, because of my Catholic background, the stuff about clergy and laity always bothered me. Those words, number one, are not even in your Bible. And number two, that's the deed of the Nicolaitans when you have the quote unquote higher up clergy and the quote unquote lower down church members. There's nothing true about that. Listen, in my years, if it wasn't for families that God blessed me with, I don't do anything for the Lord. Do you understand that? So you can't say I'm just a church man. There's no such thing as just a church. We are children of God. We get to serve him, live for him, where he places us by the grace of God. Amen. Isn't it good to be saved?
Amen.
And it's good to be where God wants you to be.
Amen.
You know, our culture is belittling housewives. Would you agree with that? And so, because of that, look at our society. And look at the juvenile delinquency. What is that for? You know, I've read a couple of biographies of George Washington. George Washington's mom was a godly woman who put a lot of character and a lot of discipline in his life as a boy. And he turned into a great leader. Without godly mothers, we're in a lot of trouble. And so that's why, guys, that's why evil communications corrupt good manners. Listen, we're not just talking about hanging around with drugs. We're talking about what you watch, what you read, and what you listen to. And if you listen to enough of this claptrap from our society, you're going to get to doubting that book. And we're covering in Hebrews about doubting the word of God. So we have got to sort of cut out some of the stuff that we listen to, read, or watch so that we can emphasize what God wants for us in these last days. And don't tell me, look at me, don't tell me you can read and watch and listen and it not affect you. That's not true. You have an Adamic nature, a fallen Adamic nature, and the devil, he programs all that stuff to appeal to the Adamic nature, and then you go, well, that makes sense. That's the Adamic nature at work. We got to stay in our Bible. We have got to read that book. We have got to study that book. We have got to thank God for good preaching, But I mean, we have got to purpose in our hearts in these last days to stay true to that book. Amen. And I'm telling you, it is going to be a fight of faith. So the qualifications, number one, verse one, it was chosen of God from among men. Number two, in verse one, he was to be ordained a minister on behalf of men. A pastor is not a czar. A pastor is not a dictator. He is a leader. He is a shepherd. In other words, the high calling of God is to be a servant to others. Isn't that true? And what, look at our Lord. Took upon him the form of a servant. So that's a minister. The word minister is a great Bible word because it has all the connotations of being a servant and serving others. And then we see another qualification for the priests in verse 1 is that they would offer gifts and sacrifices for sins representing the sinner. You know, many years ago, I was reading in the Old Testament, and I read where Samuel told Israel, God forbid that I should not pray for you. And I remember that God really impressed on my heart that I needed to pray for my people every single day. So if I don't, if I'm traveling or something like that and I can't pray my whole prayer list, I always pray for my family and I always pray for my church. If I can't do anything else, I am praying for those people. Are y'all with me? And so, you know, sometimes you just have to make priorities in your life. And I really believe in the power of prayer in God's people's lives. And, you know, sometimes, guys, we will be going through things, and we're not just going to broadcast it. You all know, well, they were not down here, but some of you would know Darcy. Darcy is Larissa's dad. Do you all know who I'm talking about? Okay, Miss Corinne, she had some migraine issue and stuff like that. Long story short, they say, we can give you a shot, and we can help you. Listen, a dentist gave her this shot. Then they find out the stuff that they gave her is still experimental. Since she has got that shot, she has been devastated in her health. Dizzy, can't get out of bed, can't walk, all kinds of issues. He came in on Sunday morning. I know Darcy. I've spent time with Darcy. And I could tell right away, he's got a heavy burden on him. Some days she can't even get out of the bed. They actually flew down to Dallas. They researched some stuff, and they found two doctors that thought that they could help. One was in New York, one was in Dallas. So they chose to go to Dallas. Considering they have a daughter in Dallas, that might have made a little... But the good news is they had one appointment so far. And he examined her, talked to her. They both got a lot of confidence in her because she explained things so well. Then he prescribed the medication for her to start. He took blood. They're going to run all kinds of tests. The test won't be until the 26th of this month. And so they have another appointment. And this is what they said. They told the preacher, they said, every other time when a doctor prescribed something to try to help her, she had real bad reactions to the medicine. But this medicine, she hasn't had any bad reactions to. So they have confidence. So you might pray for Darcy and Corinne. They are great. They're good people. But what I was trying to say is he wasn't griping to me. He wasn't, whining. You could just tell he's got a burden on him. Well, what can you do to help him? You can pray. I really do believe in the power of prayer. So that's what they do, the priests, the qualifications. They need to offer gifts and sacrifices representing the sinner. Then in verse number 2, it says who can have compassion. You know, I think compassion has gone out the window in the day and age in which we live in. What we do is we judge everything on the outside, but that is a lost sinner whatever he or she may be or do or anything like that. And so we need to be compassionate. And here's the thing. We should be more compassionate because we were lost sinners. And we know what God did in getting us down and what the change that he's made in our life. So when you look at that sinner, you have no idea what God can do in that person's life if they get saved by the grace of God. So you have to be compassionate. Also in verse number 3, that we see that he offers sins for his own sins also. Well, you know what? I got me a high priest. He didn't need to offer any sins for himself because he's sinless. Tim, look up Leviticus 16:11 for me, would you? And then, Bethy, I'm going to get to the next point. Look up Exodus 28:1. And Caleb, would you look up Numbers 16:40 for me, please? So it says there in verse number 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Verse number 3, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sins. So the high priest, he had to get right with the Lord and offer sins for himself before he could offer sins for people. Are you all with me? So too with us, guys, if we're going to minister to others, we're going to have to be clean. We're going to have to be right with the Lord so the Holy Ghost can work through us and use us to help others. Leviticus 16:11, Tim.
And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, shall make an atonement for himself, for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself.
So he had to do it for himself. And then we saw in verse 4, I just read it, that you have to be, hey, the office of high priest was not self-appointed. It was God called. The office of pastor, the office of evangelist, the office of missionary, I believe that is God called. Amen. You can volunteer to do that, but still, you still have to have a call of God on you. Many years ago, and I can't remember, I was with an older man, and this is what he said to me, Caleb. He said, Mike, he said, there's a lot of men that are pastoring churches in America that really should be deacons. Not that it's lesser thing, it's just that they were out of their office, their God-called position. Okay, so Exodus 28, Caleb, or no, that's you. That was God's call. Caleb, number 16:40, please.
Memorial unto the children of Israel, that a stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come here to offer incense before the Lord, that he not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said by the hand of Moses.
Amen. So what we're just reviewing, looking at there, is the qualifications for the priest. Now, let's go through verse by verse, okay? It says, for every high priest taken from among men. Now, here's the question. Was Christ taken from among men? Joy, would you go back to chapter 2, verse 16? And Cassie, would you please go to Philippians 2, 7 and 8? Philippians 2, 7 and 8. Taken from among men. Does our Lord meet the qualifications that the Bible has? Go ahead, Joy. The seed of Abraham, taken from among men. Cass? Amen. So he meets the qualifications. So being from men, he can be for men. Nobody wants somebody to get saved more than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, who can have compassion. Miss Marisa, would you look up Romans 15, 1 through 3? And Kristen, would you look up 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 13? See, it says, who can have compassion on the ignorant? can. That's an ability, right? Dan can do calculus. Pastor Keenan can't do calculus. It's an ability, right? Tim can play the guitar. Pastor Keenan cannot play the guitar. It's an ability. Marisa, Romans 15, 1 through 3, please. Did I not say that?
Sorry, that was my fault. We then that are strong have to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to be of. Let every one of us be his community, his good and his good. For even Christ himself, but as it is the reproach of them that reproach, they fell on him, fell on me.
Guys, is that not completely contrary to the society we live in? Everybody's out to do what? Please himself. Everything is about me. But when you're talking about serving the Lord, it's always about others. You know, the old acrostic, joy, Jesus, others, yourself. That's just kindergarten stuff right there, you know? Listen, you put yourself ahead of anything else. God's never going to use you for anything for the Lord. A servant's attitude isn't about himself. A servant's attitude is about others. So he has that ability. And then he says the ignorant, who can have compassion on the ignorant. Now, you got to be careful about, I heard Pastor Matt, was he preaching? Was I here when he was preaching about, oh, yeah, I was right there, comforting the feeble-minded. Unfortunately, I have given you a bad slant on that verse of Scripture because I use it in a jesting manner. But when you talk about ignorant, okay, we're not talking about retards here. We're not talking about anything like that. Paul, let's see. 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy. I mean, Kristen will read 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 13. Okay, was Paul an ignorant man with the vocabulary of modern Christian society? No. The Lord, ignorant is not a willful sin. I'm not saying it's not a sin, but it's not a willful sin. That's something important. In fact, in the Old Testament law, there was provision for the sins of ignorance. Daniel, look up Numbers 15 for me. Numbers 15. And start in verse 24 and go to about verse 31.
Then it shall be, if all be tempted by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner of one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be given to them. For it is ignorance, and they shall bring their offering, sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering being the Lord for their ignorance. It shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the shelter of the children of all men, all people for ignorance. And if any souls be ignorant, then shall bring a goat.
Okay. Did you hear the difference? Ignorance and presumptuously. Go ahead.
And
Okay, that's good. A sin of ignorance is a sin not committed. It's not a sin committed in resistance to knowledge. Are you understanding? I said, okay, you're saved. The tithe is the Lord. If you don't tithe, you're a God robber. Well, I don't care what the Bible says. That's a presumptuous sin. That's not a sin of ignorance. When I first got saved, I did not tithe because I didn't know anything about tithing. That wasn't a presumptuous sin. Are you with me? In the Old Testament, there is no mercy under the law for presumptuous sins. Presumptuous. The old dictionary says arrogant, irreverent, defiance against God's authority. It's pretty strong, right? So they use the illustration of pride and blasphemy. Who's the greatest illustration of pride and blasphemy in the Bible? Yes, the devil. Genesis 3, ye shall not surely die. That's blasphemy. That's presumptuous. So there's presumptuous sins. It's full of arrogance. It's willing to just go against God. And God makes a distinction there. Maybe I can illustrate it like that. You remember Korah? Dan, look up Numbers 16. And then Erica, look up 2 Samuel 12 for me. And then Kev, look up Psalm 19, 13. Okay, Korah and David both sinned, did they not? But God had a different reaction to both of those sins. Korah in Numbers 16, start in verse 8, Dan.
Moses said unto Korah, hear, seemeth it but a small thing unto you. God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. Stand before the congregation, minister unto them.
What verse are you in?
Nine.
Okay, go ahead.
He hath brought thee near to him, all the brethren.
What was Korah's sin? Who knows what Korah's sin was? Anybody know? Go ahead. And what do we call that? It's rebellion, right? In other words, he presumptuously said, okay, God appointed Moses, but I think I'm more important than Moses, and went against him. Dan, go down to verse 28 and start there.
Moses said, hereby ye shall know the Lord hath sent me. For I've not done them of my own mind. These men died a common death, all men visited. After the visitation of men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, the earth open her mouth, all them up, and all that appertain unto them, go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand men both.
Okay. Do you see that? He didn't commit adultery. He wasn't looking at pornography. He didn't lie. He had the presumptuous sin of rebelling against God's man that God had put in that office. And what'd God do? God dropped him down dead, opened up the earth and dropped him into hell. Now, we all know David's sin in 2 Samuel 12, right? Is that where you're at? Okay, I don't have time for you to read all of it. Pick out some verses in there that you think are important.
Wow.
You feeling the pressure? Say this. What?
Start at one and go until you stop me.
Okay. Okay, slide down to where David, it gets mad and wants to judge that guy.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Some people would think rebelling against the pastor is not a big thing, but committing adultery is a big thing. Now, they're both sins, right? But you study your Bible, how did God deal? According to the law, should David not have died?
Amen.
Twofold. He was responsible for adultery. He took another man's wife. And number two, he was responsible for killing Uriah. So under the law, now here's the issue. You know what the Lord knows about our flesh? It's desperately wicked. Does he not say in Psalms, they are but dust? In the eyes of the Lord, the presumptuous sin of overcoming authority that you know is God's authority is greater than you submitting or giving in to the lust of your flesh. When I lose my temper, is that my flesh?
Amen.
That's my flesh. But if I would go against my pastor, yeah. Are y'all with me? How do you learn that stuff? You got to read your Bible.
Amen.
And you got to read it again and again and again. Now, listen, I have read some books a couple of times. Like, I love that Louis L'Amour book on The Last of the Breed. I really think it's a classic about manhood, to be honest with you. And I think I've read that book three times, and I've enjoyed it each time. But I've read that book more than three times. And you know what? I know everything about Last of the Breed. I don't know everything about that book. And Last of the Breed doesn't talk to me like that book talks to me. That Last of the Breed doesn't comfort my heart like that book does. That's an amazing book. Well, I personally have increased my Bible reading. Now, obviously, I don't have to preach a couple times a week. I said, why are you doing that? Guys, I am prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Do you know how many stories I've heard about older men that were faithfully serving the Lord? They get up in their 60s or 70s, and they go cattywampus, and they get all messed up, go whoring around or go this. Or go. I don't want to do that. What's going to help me from not doing that? That book's going to help me.
Amen.
I have got to fill myself with that book right there.
Amen.
Brother Hardwood was telling me that, you know, he would go on YouTube and check some videos or whatever, you know, and the Lord really dealt with them because, you know, before you know it, he's watching videos for an hour on YouTube. He said, so I just cut that out.
Amen.
That's a waste of time.
Amen.
We need to redeem the time.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, the devil, he has amped it up in these last days. Traveling, you go to all these cities, everybody is addicted to those devices. Just addicted. Now they put Wi-Fi on the airplanes so that you can play with your devices on the airplanes. God forbid you would go an hour or two without being able to maybe read a book. I think I'm out of time. Yeah, I am. I just saw the kids get out. Okay, I will try to pick up somewhere around there. Lord, I sure love you, and I thank you for these folks giving me their attention. And Lord, I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement to them. So Lord, bless. We pray for our pastor. Please fill him. Lord, use him as he preaches. And I pray that our service this morning would be a sweet incense to you. And we offer up our praise and our worship and our thanks. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.